Well, over the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about the importance of being a part of a local church, the body of Christ, his bride, and we've been talking specifically about being a part of this particular body of Christ known as Maple Avenue Christian Church. Well, this morning we're going to wrap our series up and jump in as we look at the last part of our mission statement, and that's the share. Those four words, connect, grow, serve, share. Share's not at the end because it's the least important. It's at the end because a lot of times it takes more courage to get to that point in our growth and our development than it does those others. So we want to encourage you to consider jumping in here at Maple Avenue Christian Church and being a part of a community who wants to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. There's probably no greater or more important work for a Christian to do than to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with everyone who's willing to listen. Now, if you're lucky, you can catch them in a place where even if they're not willing to listen, you can still share. You've got they're captive. Don't go out kidnapping people, but if they're captive, then you take the time and you share. But as a church, we want to encourage those of you who have accepted. Now listen, for those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's your responsibility to share that wonderful message with everyone. It's not optional. This has been the mission of the church, the body of Christ, his bride, since it was born. As Jesus was ascending to be with his Father in heaven, he told the remaining 11 disciples in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, he said this, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." The message that you and I have to share with others is an important message. It's a life or death message. It really is. God has entrusted you with the power to give life or death. Are you going to share or not? That's the responsibility, and it's a great responsibility that he's handed off to us. The last thing Jesus told his disciples was to preach the good news. This is why we find share in our mission statement, because we want to transform people into Christ's likeness. That's our vision as a church. We want to see everyone come into Christ's likeness. It's why we believe that we're a church worth you considering jumping into. Now, however, there is a trend in our churches among Christians that's spiraling, in my opinion, out of control. And that is that fewer and fewer Jesus followers are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I read an article at Lifeway.com this week that talked about the responsibility of Christians sharing the gospel. And it said this, it said, when it comes to discipleship, churchgoers struggle most with sharing Christ with non-Christians. Our greatest struggle as believers is to share with unbelievers the message of Jesus Christ. And I just got to ask, why? Why would that be? Well, later on in this article, it kind of backed up that statement. It said that 80% of those who attend church one or more times a month, which I don't really consider a commitment to your church, can go into church once a month. I really don't consider that a commitment. I don't. But some of you may think that's a commitment. I hope you grow in that. But they believe 80% of those who attend one or more times a month believe they have a personal responsibility to share the gospel. They believe they have that responsibility. But 61% of them have not told another person about how to become a Christian in the last 6 months. 80% believe they should, but 61% have done nothing about it. There's a big difference in believing something and acting upon that belief. So 61% haven't done anything about it. At Lifeway Research found 8 biblical attributes that they consider evidence of the lives and the lives of maturing believers in Christ. And of those 8, sharing Christ has the lowest average score among Protestant church attendees. 3/4 of churchgoers, 75% of churchgoers say they feel comfortable in their ability to effectively communicate the gospel. So 3/4, 75% of Christians say, yeah, I feel comfortable in my ability to share the gospel. But only 12% went out and told anybody about their faith. 75% felt comfortable doing it, but 12% did it. Or I'm sorry, 12% said they didn't feel comfortable. All right, let me back that up. 12% said they didn't feel comfortable. So despite this vast majority of people who believe it's their duty to share their faith, who also say they have the confidence to do so, 25% say they have shared their faith once or twice in the last 6 months. In 6 months, in 180 days, 25% have said, yeah, we've shared our faith twice. In 180 days, I've taken an occasion to have two conversations, not two full days, but two conversations to share Christ. 14% have shared three or more times over the last 6 months, and I guess that's supposed to be really good that you've shared the gospel in 6 months with three people. Remember, this is life or death. This is what we're called to do. This is our job. It's what we agree to when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Three times in 6 months. That's the highest. This survey also asked how many times people have personally invited unchurched people to church, and nearly half of church people said they had never invited anyone to church. 48% said they never invited anyone to church. 33% of people say they've personally invited someone one or two times. And 19% say they've done so on three or more occasions in the last 6 months. So as Jesus' followers, as those who proclaim his precious blood over our lives, okay? His blood to deliver us to eternal life, why aren't we sharing? And don't look around. I mean, why aren't you sharing? And this isn't a beat you up thing. It's just let's wake up and realize what we're really called to do. The most important message the world will ever know. And we're not sharing. So let's just make this personal. Are you? I can't answer for you. Only you can answer for you. And I'm not sitting up here judging you. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just wanting you to ask the question. Are you sharing the gospel with others? Now let me ask you this. Are you sharing the gospel with others at a greater rate than what Lifeway Research found? Or is this going to become the norm? Will this become the status quo? Three times in 6 months, I'll have three conversations in 6 months with three different people about Christ. Is that going to become that status quo? That's the highest that they had. Will that become yours? Why aren't we sharing? I can't answer for every person in this room, but I can tell you that what I've understood as I've talked to people at different times is I believe, oh, Satan likes to get on our shoulder, and he likes to whisper lies into our ears. And I think sometimes, I'm putting the responsibility solely on him, but I think that sometimes he wants us not to share. I think that's his great desire, is to keep us from sharing what Christ told us to go and do, to make us disobey our Savior. So I think Satan likes to put whispers in our ear. I call them the seven whispers of Satan. I want to share those with you real quick, all right? These are the seven whispers of Satan. First, he whispers in our ear. Just picture, you know, the red guy on one side and the white guy on the other. All right, you got it? You got it in your head? So I think Satan's over here and he's whispering this on one shoulder. He's saying, you don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. You can't share the gospel. You don't know how to answer every question. You don't. Just acknowledge it. It's true. You don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. The elders don't have all the answers. The Pope doesn't have all the answers. Acknowledge it. Move on. Don't let your pride keep you from sharing the gospel. See, Satan likes to tap in those little things, pride. Don't let the fear of not knowing everything keep you from proclaiming what you do know. And that is this, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And he desires a relationship with everyone on this planet who has or whoever will live. People have asked me questions all the time that I can't answer. And what I try and simply do is just say, I don't know, but I'll try and find out. And then if I find out, I go back to him and I say, this is what I understand this to be. Or if I don't, I go back and I say, I still don't know. But what I have noticed is that as people continue to journey with Jesus, a lot of times the answer they have, or the question they have, the answer is revealed through their relationship with Christ somehow. No, I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. Just acknowledge it and move on. Another whisper he likes to put in our ears is this: it's not your responsibility. It's not your responsibility. Hey, listen, if it's not your responsibility, then whose is it? If it's not your responsibility, whose is it? Some of you may be thinking that it's my responsibility, or it's Alex's responsibility, or it's Jason's responsibility, or it's Cindy's responsibility because we're on staff at the church, so it's your responsibility to share. And you know what? It is our responsibility, but it's yours too. Every one of us. We have a responsibility to share. Jesus gave this command to his disciples, and when you accept him, when you ask him to be your Lord and your Savior, then you are a disciple. And guess what? Sharing becomes your responsibility. Here's the third one. Satan likes to say, you don't know how to share. Any of you ever struggle with that? I don't know how to share. I haven't had an evangelism program ever I've attended. I don't know how to share the gospel. Let me tell you something. Sharing the gospel is simply this. It's telling others what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life. Okay? That's what it is. Telling your story. And listen, you know how to share your story better than anybody else. You don't need an evangelism program to go through to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just tell other people what Jesus has done for your life. That's simple, right? We could all do that. If you want to practice, sit down and write your testimony out. All right, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Here at number four, I believe Satan likes to whisper in our ear. Maybe he's whispering in this in your ear right now. You don't know how to speak well. He whispered that same thing into Moses' ear, right? Remember that back in Exodus? You don't know how to speak well. Listen, you don't have to be an eloquent speaker to share what Jesus has done in your life. You don't. Remember, Jesus doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those he calls. And if you have a relationship with him, then guess what? You're qualified. You're equipped. He has equipped you to share the gospel. Remember, here's the thing to remember. This is relational. So there's no religious formula. It's about building a relationship with somebody and sharing with them the relationship you have with Jesus. I mean, it's pretty easy for us to go out and share about our relationship with our spouse if we're married, about our children if we have them, about different friends, even organizations. What about Jesus? Share that relationship with other people. That's why I'm really not the biggest supporter of evangelism programs, and I've been ridiculed for that. I've had people say, well, you just don't believe in it. Yes, I believe in evangelism. Jesus didn't put together a program because of the simple fact that people can see right through a rehearsed program. People can see through those. What people are looking for and what God calls us to is a genuine relationship. And that's what Jesus wants everybody to know. He wants a relationship with them. Okay, number five. Maybe Satan's whispered this in your ear. You don't have a good testimony. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever heard people say, I've heard people say that. Well, I don't have a good, I wish I had a testimony like yours or like theirs. Listen, no, you don't. That means you have to live through what that person lived through, if that's what you're talking about. Listen, in my opinion, that's probably the greatest lie from Satan, as far as I'm concerned. And the reason I say that is this. I wrote this down real clear so that I'd say it right, because I don't want to put my foot in my mouth. If you don't think you have a good testimony, then you probably haven't truly realized your desperate need for a Savior. Okay? I don't care how good of a life you lived. I don't care how blessed you were. You were a sinner going straight to the depths of hell before you accepted Jesus Christ. And your testimony, guess what? It isn't about you. That's the biggest thing I think a lot of Christians need to get over is ourselves. Your testimony ain't about you. Your testimony is about Jesus and Him alone. It's about what He has done for you, yes, but it's not about you, not what you've overcome. Oh, you've overcome nothing without Him. Oh, you may have kicked the habit of alcohol or pornography or adultery or gluttony or gossip or slander or jealousy or any number of habits or sins, but your works have not delivered you from the wrath of a jealous God. Only Jesus has done that. Only Him. And the opposite of this is true too. Maybe Satan whispers in your ear, hey, your past is too bad. No one's going to listen to you. Same thing. Your testimony is not about you. It's about what Jesus Christ has done for you. So I want to encourage you, keep that straight. Remember, you are not your own. You were bought with a great price. And that price was the cost of blood flowing down a cross. The cost of God's one and only Son dying in your place. That's the message we're to share with others. What Jesus has done. That's why we say share. Maybe Satan whispers in your ear too that you don't have time. Well, Jesus, you don't know how busy I am. You know how many calendars I have, how many appointments I have today, how many people are calling on me for this or for that. I don't have time. Listen, this goes to every part of life. All right, I believe this. We have time for what we make time for. You have time for what you make time for. As a matter of fact, listen, you don't even need to carve out any special or any additional time to share the gospel. Do you know that? You don't have to schedule that in your day. Jesus told the disciples, as Matthew records it, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it'll be up here on the screen. I'm going to I guess it's not. But anyway, look in your Bible, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and I'm going to paraphrase it. So I'm not going to say it like it's in the Bible. But here's what Jesus is saying. When He's getting ready to go to be with His Father, this parallels Mark 16 that we just read. But in Matthew 28, when He's getting ready to ascend up to be with His Father, he looks at His disciples and He says this. He says, while you're going about your daily lives, while you're getting up and going to work in the morning, while you're going out to the shores to go fishing, while you're going to the YMCA to work out every day, while you're going to school, while you're going to your friend's house, while you're going to McDonald's, while you're doing whatever you're doing, while you're going about your daily life, tell others about Me. Share with them the good news of Me, Jesus Christ. That's what He's telling them. While you go do these things, while you're on your way, while you're caught up in the activities of your day, share Jesus with others. You don't have to create a program to do that. Just do it in the midst of your day. Sometimes I think we sit back and we wait for programs to be created so we don't have to do it. Just go do it, for goodness sake. Get it done. While you're at work, do it. While you're in sports events, share. Whatever you're doing. People should know you're a Christian, not just by your actions, but also by your words. Now, there's an old saying that St. Francis of Assisi used to say. He said, preach all the time, when necessary, use words, or at least it's attributed to him. And I don't disagree with that, but I want to put a little twist on it. I want to say this. Preach all the time with actions and words that support each other, because too many people have taken what he said and left off the words. People will just see I'm a Christian by what I do. No, you got to open your mouth and share. So preach all the time with actions and words that support each other. Number 7. And I believe this is the loudest whisper Satan puts in our head, in our hearts. And that's this. It tells you over and over again, you're afraid. That's a scary thing to go out and share the gospel. Does he ever put that thought in your mind? Well, I'm afraid to share the gospel. Let me ask you this simple question. What are you afraid of? I mean, if you can stand up and say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I confess his blood over my life, I need Jesus to be saved, then why are you afraid to go and tell other people about that? If you really believe that, listen, if you really believe that, then there would be such an urgency in your heart to share that with those who don't know. You'd want to. We'd all want to. It'd be what we're preoccupied with. And here in this country, now some people would say, oh, you're radical, you're fanatic about this. Should be. If this is the most important thing in the world, then we should be. If it's not, then you're just playing a game. Okay? But here in this country, the only thing we really have to be afraid of, and we don't have to be afraid of it, we don't have to, we'd let it be a fear, is people rejecting your message. And remember, it's not your message, it's Jesus' message. And remember, he told us that the world, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first, right? We don't have anything to be afraid of. Not in this country. Not at all. I believe a lot of people are afraid of losing their reputation. That's what I believe. That's what I see. Because I don't see persecution in this country, but it's our reputation that we're afraid of losing. There are people, though, who live in countries where sharing the gospel could result in execution. I have a friend who's a missionary in his home country of India, and there's real persecution there. People are shot in the rivers for being baptized into Jesus Christ. You ain't getting shot in the baptistries here in the United States. But people are giving their lives to Christ. Open Door Ministry reported that in 2015, there was at least one case of anti-Christian violence every day in India. Every day. Persecution on Christians and their faith happens daily on a global scale. In communist countries like North Korea, these authoritarian governments, they seek to control all religious thoughts, all religious expressions as a part of a comprehensive plan to control all aspects of political and civic life. That's what they set out to do. And then it's not just governments. It's not just communist governments, but there's also societies. In Niger, more than 98% of the population is Islamic. And hostility comes more from society than from the government. So let me ask you again, just real quick, what are you afraid of? Don't let Satan pour that lie into your ear. There's nothing to be afraid of. Share. Don't give in to the seven whispers of Satan. He wants us to buy into his lies, and he whispers in our ears all the time because the last thing he wants us to do is share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that other people reject him, repent from him, and pursue a relationship with Christ. So don't listen to his lies. Jesus wants and he expects so much more from us. The Apostle Paul knew this firsthand as he dealt with his own persecution, yet he was not afraid and he wasn't worried about his reputation. He knew his past was really bad. He knew he didn't necessarily speak the best. I don't know. You know, I mean, he knew all those things, but he shared. Listen to how he put it in Romans 1, 16 through 17. This is our passage for the day, okay? Romans 1, 16 through 17. Paul said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We could stop right there. I'll read the rest of it. Why is he not ashamed? Because it is the power, not Paul. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Have you ever wondered why Paul made this statement? I mean, this is a bold statement. The way he's writing it, I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's the way he's saying that. This word ashamed, it's a very interesting word in the Greek language. Episkunomai is the word, and it means disgraced or personally humiliated. Now, you got to think about Paul's past, and we'll get to it. But he's saying, I'm not disgraced by the gospel. I'm not humiliated by the gospel. I'm going to share the gospel. A person, Paul's saying, a person ashamed in this way is like someone singled out for misplacing their confidence, that they trusted in something that was going to let them down. And then some of you have experienced that kind of event in your life. You've put your hope, you put your trust in a spouse or in a parent or maybe in a child, and they've let you down over and over and over again. So when Paul says that he's not ashamed of the gospel, he's saying his confidence in the gospel is not misplaced. There's no disgrace in declaring it. Paul had given his life to proclaiming the truths that Jesus himself had revealed to him back in Acts chapter 9. He explained to the Romans why he did not believe that he had wrongly identified with Jesus and why proclaiming Jesus' message was his life's work. That's what his life was dedicated to. Why? Because he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's why. Just like when you accept Jesus, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, and your life's work is to share the gospel. The gospel was considered weak by the Romans because it had its beginnings, its start from the Jewish culture. And according to the Romans, the Jews were an inferior people. They were subhuman, good for nothing but to be slaves. Okay? The gospel was considered weak because the central focus of the gospel was on the work of a poor Jewish carpenter who was crucified on a Roman cross. Weakness to the max in the eyes of the Romans. And it was now being proclaimed by a Jewish man, the Apostle Paul, who had become an outcast even among his subhuman culture, his good-for-nothing slave people, the Jews. He was an outcast even among them. Paul had been imprisoned in Philippi, chased out of Thessalonica, smuggled out of Berea. He'd been ignored in Athens and laughed at in Corinth. He'd been stoned and left for dead in Lystra. Paul, how can you even dare to come to Rome with that kind of record, with that kind of past, with that kind of background? We're talking about the mighty Rome. The heart of the empire, Rome, the city of philosophers and poets. And Paul, you bring us this simple message. Rome, the home to every conceivable idol. And you're telling us that we can only have one God, no other idols? Rome, this seat of emperor worship where you're wanting to replace the emperor and put Jesus Christ there, and that's who we worship? Really, Paul, you're coming here with that? Rome, the center of intellectual arrogance where we're told to be humble in this gospel that we have. Rome, a city built on war and a gospel about peace. Rome, the greatest city in the world. The gospel coming from a forgotten place. But the Apostle Paul, he was not ashamed. Why? Because he had confidence, not in himself, but in the gospel. There's no greater message to be heard than the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is called the good news because it addresses the most serious problem that you or I or any other human being would ever encounter. And that problem is simply this, that God is holy and he is just and we are not. And at the end of my life and at the end of your life, you're going to stand before a just and a holy God, and we will be judged. I'll be judged either on the basis of my own righteousness or the lack of it, or I'll be judged on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's where I want to put my trust. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus lived a life of perfect righteousness, a perfect obedience to God, not for his own well-being, but for you and for me, for his people. He's done for us what we cannot do for ourselves. But not only has he lived that life of perfect obedience, he offered himself as a perfect sacrifice. Why? To satisfy the justice and the righteousness of a jealous God. One who desires a relationship with you. One who does not want you to put anyone else before him. He's not jealous of you. He's jealous for you. Since the beginning of time, when the first man sinned, mankind has been under the condemnation of God. because everyone breaks God's perfect law by committing sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and everyone's guilty. The punishment for the crime of sin is physical death. That's why Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That means you've worked to earn death. And then an eternity spent in a place of eternal punishment. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 25:46. He said, then they will go to eternal punishment, those who reject him. But the righteous, those who accept him, will have eternal life. The fact that all are guilty of sin and condemned to spend eternity in a place of torment is very bad news. Very bad news. But God, because of his great love for every person on this planet, has made a way for all of man to be forgiven for their sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take the sins of man on himself through death on a cross. And in placing our sin on Christ, God ensured that all who believe in the name of Jesus will be forgiven. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the message we are to share. The good news that God provided the way for man to be freed from the penalty of sin. But not all people will be saved from hell. Only those who place their faith in Jesus will spend eternity with God in heaven when they die. What a person does with this news will determine where he or she spends eternity. God is calling you to choose life. Call on the name of the Lord and be saved. The gospel of Christ is the best news anyone will ever hear. If you've accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then you know, listen, if you proclaim him, then you should know better than anybody else how great this good news really is. The amazing thing is God has chosen to use you and me to share that good news. What a great responsibility and what a privilege. So when you give in to one of the whispers of Satan, and when you refuse to share the good news because you're ashamed of the gospel, you're essentially telling that person they can go to hell because you don't have all the answers. You're telling them you can go to hell because it's not my responsibility. You can go to hell because you don't know how to share. You can go to hell because you don't speak well. You can go to hell because I don't have a good testimony or my past is too bad. You can go to hell because I don't have time. You can go to hell because I'm afraid. That's what we're telling them when we fail to share the gospel. This is important. Just as Paul placed his confidence in the gospel of Christ, so can we. When we proclaim with boldness the truths that God has revealed in his word, with no fear that our confidence is misplaced, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. And we can rest in the knowledge that the Holy Spirit, who inspired the writing of Scripture, never changes. What was true thousands of years ago is still true today. The offer of salvation that was presented to people of the first century is still open to us, to everyone you know. To live unashamed of the gospel means we proclaim it by applying it to our lives and showing we believe it. Paul's life choices supported his message. He didn't preach one thing and live another. We are ashamed of the gospel when we allow sin in our lives to go unchecked. When we indulge in worldliness, when we indulge in carnal desires, when we blatantly disobey scriptural standards, we show that we lack confidence in our own message. If we don't live like we preach, if we don't preach what we live, we show that we lack confidence in that message. When we walk in the counsel of the wicked, when we stand in the path of sinners, when we sit in the seat of mockers, we are being ashamed of the gospel. We're not allowing its truth to penetrate our lives so that others see its changing power. To live unashamed of the gospel means that we, like Paul, allow it to dominate our lives to the extent that everyone within our sphere of influence can see that we've been spending time with Jesus, that we have a relationship with him. We've been given a gospel worth believing. We've been given a gospel worth sharing. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you ashamed of the gospel, or are you trusting the gospel of Christ for your salvation? Are you ashamed of the gospel, or are you sharing the gospel like the Apostle Paul did, unashamedly? The same message that was able to save then saves now. The same power that worked in Paul's life works today. All we need to do is see the gospel work in power, is to believe it and to share it. We wonder why culture is going in the way it's going. It's because as Christians, we're not sharing the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not need modification. It does not need alteration. All it needs is for those who know it and believe it to share it with those who don't know it. When we do, the Holy Spirit will take that gospel and He will draw sinners to faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, we plant, we water seeds. God makes it grow. Share. Isn't it amazing that God would take the most important message in the world, the most important message the world has ever heard, and place it in the hands of redeemed sinners like you and me? Isn't it amazing that He would give us His gospel and then command us to take it to the world? He doesn't suggest that that's what He tells us to do that, knowing that no one is ever saved apart from the preaching of the gospel. Paul wrote later in this letter of Romans, in Romans 10, 13 through 15, he says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard about? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" Sharing. You don't have to go to Bible college or seminary. You don't have to be raised in the church. You don't have to be an elder or church leader to share the gospel. Tell people what Christ has done for you. And then he goes on, he says, "How can anyone preach unless they are sent?" So you're sent. Jesus sent every one of us. While you go, make disciples. And then Paul says, as it's written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." How beautiful are your feet? How beautiful are they? How are you doing when it comes to sharing the gospel? Who do you know? Who do you know personally in your life who needs to hear the gospel? Why not pray for those people? Start by doing that. Ask God to give you the opportunity. As a matter of fact, He's given you the opportunity. Now you have to seize the opportunity and tell them about Jesus. If you've accepted the gospel, then you should not be ashamed of the gospel, because you know its power personally. And there's a desire within you to share it with those who do not know its power. There's no better time to get busy telling others about Jesus than right now. So when you go out to eat this morning, that's what a lot of us do. We go out, share the gospel. When you go to work tomorrow, when you go home, maybe there's people in your home who don't know Christ. Share the gospel. Are you passionate about it? Are you passionate about making sure other people know Jesus Christ? Hey, if not, check your relationship with Him. Just saying. Check, identify whatever whisper Satan may be throwing in your ear. Pray for strength to overcome that. Refocus. Get into God's Word. Remember the mission that Jesus gave you. God's love covers the world. And He therefore intends that everyone hear the good news, which means we must share.